Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is January 22nd, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 73. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, "Psychologists are inclined to agree with us," and ends, "their chance for recovery." Today's readers, the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Christina L., readers of the text, Penny C. and Vanessa G., our backup is Nancy P., our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and the second hour host is Jeannie B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,095. That's 22,095. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,096. That's 22,096. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Mary Ann H., recovered overeaters. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admit that we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marianne H., and I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
All righty. Good morning, Christina L., recovering compulsive overeater in Florida. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. Pass.
Thank you, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 6, Into Action, and we are on page 73. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, psychologists are inclined to agree with us, and ends, their chance for recovery. And I'll ask Penny C. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa and everyone else on the line. I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us. We have spent thousands of dollars for examinations. We know but few instances where we have given these doctors a fair break. We have seldom told them the whole truth, nor have we followed their advice. Unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic men, we were honest with no one else. Small wonder many in the medical profession have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance for recovery. So when it says psychologists are inclined to agree with us, it sends me back to reading the preceding paragraphs in this chapter. What is it they agree with us on? And so I went back to where it says we will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason we should do this. The best reason is if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. And then it talks about how that we haven't been honest with the doctors we've seen. And without honesty, there's no way a psychologist or a medical doctor, for that matter, can go with helping us. And the last sentence in the paragraph I just read, small wonder many in the medical profession have a low opinion of alcoholics and their chance for recovery. So as a nurse for many years, I have heard so many medical people say the hardest, the most difficult medical condition to treat is obesity. That, you know, sending a patient to a nutritionist or dietitian is all a lot of doctors know how to do. And my experience, I think, is like a lot of us that go into a medical doctor, they usually don't understand unless they're one of us. And so I'm going to wrap up with this minute. And so, you know, it tells us that what we need is a vital spiritual experience. And until I did the steps and experienced that vital spiritual experience, I was doomed. Thank God for this program, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. from Massachusetts, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Hanayeta Rodenberg. Hanayeta.
Shanna C. Shanna.
Joanne B.
Sorry, there were two people. I couldn't hear you.
Joanne B. Vermont.
Joanne. Okay.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Roy C.
Carolyn. And who is the gentleman? C. Somebody C.
Roy C.
Roy, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, I have Hanayeta R., Shanna C., Joanne B., Carolyn S., and Roy C. Hanayeta, you're up, followed by Shanna C.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Hanayeta C. from the big state of Texas. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. Thank you, God. In here it says a couple of times talked about truth. This one says we seldom told them the whole truth. And we didn't follow their advice. The other was that we were unwilling to be honest with these sympathetic people. Well, you know, because of recovery, I stopped not telling the truth. I mean, I try to always tell the truth. I try to be as honest as I can in all my dealings with everybody. And that's a far cry from what I was, how I lived my life before. Because if I could tell a good lie, it was better, much better than telling the truth. And so when I came into program many, many years ago, decades ago, I had to realize, I had to figure out what the truth was and how to deal with the truth. And so just the other day, my granddaughter came to stay with us. And my husband and my granddaughter didn't want my daughter to know, not her mother, but her aunt. And she's like my best friend. I mean, like she calls me twice a day, at least. And we talk all the time. And I tell her everything. And the fact that I wasn't telling her was like a lie of omission. And just a lie of omission made me ill, physically ill. My blood pressure started going up really high. My diabetes numbers were going high. They weren't just from the stress. And what I realized from that, I finally did have to tell her. And that same night, my blood pressure went down. No extra medicine, no nothing. Just by telling the truth, my blood pressure went down. And so did my diabetes numbers. It showed me that this program is embedded in me, that I have the willingness to be honest in all of my affairs, and that I don't want to lie, even a lie of omission, you know. And, you know, I try to be honest with everyone. Sometimes I, you know, like I might give my grandkids some extra money or something and I don't tell my husband. But it's usually out of, you know, my little extra money that I've put away. Things like that. But, you know, if he would ever ask me and come to me and say, did you give her, you know, some money? I would have to say yes. Not that I would lie to him. Thank you. But to me, that's a miracle. And I will close with this. Please out there, if you're struggling, if you're new, this is possible. You can recover. And don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Hanietta R. from Texas. And Shanna C., you're up, followed by Joanne B.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., Grateful Recover Compulsive Overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for leading the meeting, and thanks, Penny, for reading and today. And excuse me, on here with you guys. I have a frog in my throat. But I'm just brought back to what this paragraph's really talking about, is the fact that the importance of, you know, doing that step five and really looking at how delusional I've been, and to think that I'm just like purposely going around lying. Yes, I've told lies on purpose. I'm not saying that I didn't do that. But what was causing me to lie the way that I was the fact that I was powerless over the amount of fear and resentment and old beliefs that were driving me to lie, to not be able to tell, see and be properly armed with the facts about myself so that I could tell the professionals what was really going on with me. I was so scared because I truly believed that if you knew what was really going on in my head and in my heart, you were going to lock me up somewhere because I was crazy. And so I believe that. And I had this internal belief that everyone was out to get me all the time. And I was powerless over that belief. And so it took the disease to beat me into that state of reasonableness. You know, I can't muster this stuff off on my own. I cannot muster up a spiritual experience no more than I could put the food down of my own unaided will. Nor could I stop living in fear, and still can't without the power, a power greater than me. The cool thing is about these directions in this book is it enables me to tap into that power, which enables me to stay properly armed with the facts about myself. I have a vicious disease that is I'm never going to be cured from, that, and I will never get enough food, and I will never be pretty enough left to my own devices, and I'll never be thin enough left to my own devices. So, oh, my God. So anyway, to bring into that into balance, I must have that spiritual experience. The steps show me how to gain access to power to be able to live in an honest way with myself and others. And so this is part of that power. And it's just talking about here in this paragraph that how psychiatrists have tried to help us, but I didn't know how to let them. Now I know how to let them. You know, every day tapping in, following these directions, you know, staying armed with the facts about myself, cannot eat normally, need to help others, need to stay on top and keep that channel clean so that I'm not living in emotional imbalance and upheaval, because my mind will go back to what food will do for me rather than what it does to me, because I forget that part. I also tend to forget that this program really works really, really well every time I try it too. So anyway, thankfully, it's a day at a time. Daily reprieve, and the directions are there every day, and God's mercies are new every morning. Anyway, thank you all. Love you all so much, and I don't know where I'd be without you. That's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And Joanne B., you're up, followed by Carolyn F.
Good morning, everybody. Joanne B., calling in from Vermont, compulsive overeater. Thanks, everybody, for being there. You know, what this reading made me think about was my ability before I came into this program to lie to myself and to be dishonest and to be living in denial. I thought about how many times I went to the doctor and they wanted to put me on the scale and I refused. and because I just didn't want to know. I didn't want to hear that doctor say, you know, you're technically obese, you're in the obese range. That scared me, even though I knew it was true. I didn't want somebody else telling me that, because if a doctor told me that, then it would be true, and I would, you know, I'd have to face it. You know, I spent my time, you know, avoiding mirrors, not even looking, like walking by a store window. I couldn't face myself. And it was just really a struggle and just kind of miserable, how much I was afraid to face the truth. And then one day I realized I was completely out of ideas. Something happened, and I think it's the grace of God came into my mind and my heart and said, I needed to look for a new solution. And that solution, like, was a spiritual solution. It wasn't going to the doctor. It wasn't going on another diet. It wasn't even going to a therapist. It was going to OA, hearing stories about what other people have experienced, connecting with those people, and feeling like I'm at home. I finally found a home. And since then, I've been abstinent, not perfectly, but I have, I've kept the weight off. I don't think about or obsess about food anymore. I look at food, and I'm food neutral. That's a miracle. It's because I finally decided to face the fact that I didn't know what to do. And I'm so grateful for this program and for everybody on the line. And for my higher power, who, you know, I look to every day to help me solve all my problems, not just my food problems. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont, and Carolyn S., you're up, followed by Roy C.
Thanks, everybody. I'm Carolyn S. from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater for today, not cured. This reading really struck me. I've struggled with food. I guess it started in college. I was lucky it didn't start when I was young. But I started using the food because I went through a bad breakup and I was really depressed. And I talked to the school psychologist, who I don't even think was one. I think he was like an intern. And they told me it was breakup blues, and that was that. Well, down the road, I found out that I was bipolar, but didn't know that for many years. Anyway, so, I don't know why I was the way I was, but I just knew that food made everything better for a couple of minutes. Then, as we all know, comes the regret, the self-blame, the horror to realize that I will never be able to eat normally, that I'll never be able to have one cupcake. But there is hope. I tried all the fad diets, the pay and ways, the liquid diets, the fasting. None of them worked long term. I would lose weight, gain the weight and more, and that just kept happening. I kept telling my psychiatrist that there had to be something I could do, somewhere I could go, where I would be understood and not judged. At that point, compulsive overeating wasn't considered, you know, a problem. Like if you were bulimic or anorexic, okay. But they didn't seem to realize that if you're bulimic, you are a binge eater also. It's just a matter of, like, afterwards, do you throw it up? Will you qualify to be a bulimic or keep it in you, in which case you will become quite likely very heavy and repulsive to most people. I will never forget my husband telling me that I was not attractive to him at that weight. And I don't even know exactly how high I was, but it was devastating. Honest, but devastating. And so my psychiatrist heard about a binge eating support group at a local hospital. Actually, it was guided. We had a therapist who had no personal experience with weight problems. And we kept food journals with, you know, and she would comment, she'd write in the margins, how about one slice of pizza and a salad instead of two pieces? Like, wow, that's just mind-blowing. I never heard of that. Right. So 2 years later, the group ended, and the only thing I came away with is the fact that there was a group called Overeaters Anonymous. One of the women in my group, there were like six of us, had done that, and she wanted to learn to eat sugar in moderation, which did not happen in the 2 years that I was in that group. But you know what? I said, I've got to try this. And I don't remember now how I found OA. I mean, there was no internet. It may have been like in a supermarket, you know, the sheets where you tear off a little bit in the bottom with the phone number. I don't know. I just know that, you know, within a few weeks, I was going to my first OA meeting, conveniently down the street at this little church. And I went in there and I was hopeful, but I was also scared. And, you know, they started talking about abstinence. I didn't know what that meant. And I was so desperate to succeed in this program, I took the first person who was available, even though other people in the room were kind of trying. Okay. Anyway, thank God for now. I am living in recovery and I am so blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn S. And everybody get your pen and paper ready, because after Roy C. shares, I have a special announcement. Roy, please share with us.
Hi, this is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey, frigid this morning. And thank you, everybody, for being here on the meeting, and thanks for having this meeting. The paragraph for me spoke of the limits of the medical community. The medical community is blessed and a great resource for everybody who's suffering from this disease, including myself. But it's limited. The people that are professionals, the psychologists, the physicians, the psychiatrists, generally aren't compulsive overeaters, and they don't have an understanding of the disease. And so compulsive overeaters are not so trustworthy to converse openly, to let them know what it's about. It's only another compulsive overeater that can help someone like myself. I'm a singleness of purpose guy, and I believe in that. And I've been blessed finding compulsive overeaters like in this program that understand and listen and help me in the 12-step program. I am so blessed with this. I'm going to continue with the program because it's good. It's one of the best things that have ever happened to me. I'm so thankful that everybody's here. I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. Okay, everybody, are you ready? A vision for you. Convention is coming back. Can't be more excited. Get your ready. The weekend for the convention is November 7th to the 9th, 2025. Held at the Marriott New York International Airport in Newark, New Jersey, the Power of the Big Book Weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Come join A Vision for You as the Big Book is brought to life through the teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. Coming soon, right registration is not available yet for the convention or the hotels, but there will be online registration, and I promise you will hear more about it here on the line, but you can check the website at www.avision.info for updates. Couldn't be more excited if y'all have not been. It is an opportunity of a lifetime. So back to our scheduling, or what is it, our scheduled program for this morning. We are on page 73. We have read and we are commenting on the third paragraph. Psychologists are inclined to agree with us and ends their chance for recovery. Who else would like to share this morning?
Sherry M. Poughkeepsie.
Sherry?
Susan A. from Delaware.
Susan A. I
have
Sherry
M.
Sorry, say that again.
Judy in Maryland.
Oh, I hear you, Judith, but you sound very far away. So I have Sherry M., Susan A., Judith. Did I miss somebody?
Judy N.
Judy N., thank you.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H.
Vasa O.
Okay. Vasa. I'm gonna stop with you, Vasa. I have Sherry M., Susan A., Judith S.P., I think, Judy N., Ken W. H., and Vasa O. Sherry M., you're up, followed by Susan A.
Hi, good morning. My name is Sherry M. I'm from Poughkeepsie, New York, and I am a compulsive eater, addicted to volumes when it comes to eating. I definitely went to a therapist to try to find out what was wrong with me. And because they were not one of us, I don't really think that they ever got me. And I don't really think I told the whole truth when I sat there and talked to them. It says we have seldom told them the whole truth because I was inclined to just lie, even though you could really see it on the outside. It wasn't until I came into the program and I heard other people being honest and I went, when I went through the steps, then I was able to learn, by going through doing the work, what honesty really meant, because it will set you free. The other day I had one of my coworkers and I told her, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I messed this up. I have to call my customer and tell them about this. And she's like, oh, well, just tell them that this happened. And I said, no, I'm just going to tell them exactly what I did. And it's just so freeing because, I've just learned that through the program that God's got my back and, honesty is the best policy. And I never would have learned that if I didn't learn it from all of you. So thanks for letting me share. Have a good day.
Thank you, Sherry M. from New York. And Susan A., you're up, followed by Judith.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan A. from Delaware, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. I have spent my life in therapy trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I've been to eating disorder treatment to restore my weight. No one ever focused on recovery. It was all about restoring weight. It wasn't until I actually came into vision that I was introduced to God. I'm 62, and the fact is that I did the best I could do. I was as honest as I could be. But I still showed up, in overalls, trying to look heavier than I was. I saw therapists and we talked about eating disorders. One in particular, and she was against me writing down my food, because she just thought it was another way of control for me. And the reality is I needed you all. I needed these steps. I needed the big book, the way that we go through them in Overeaters Anonymous, not in other programs. I didn't even understand the big book. I spent years in the big book in another program, but it wasn't until I came in here and became abstinent and found out what complete abstinence was that I could actually become honest. This is a miracle. I ditto to everything everyone shared. The therapy kept me in the trauma. And we would go over my trauma again and again and again. And that's not what I needed. I needed the steps. I needed to focus on my abstinence. I needed to get honest with you all so that I could hear what you were saying, so I could relate you know, I needed to be able to relate to recover. And I'm just so grateful to have a wonderful sponsor, so many people in this program that have helped me and are still helping me, and also have been to the birthday party. I just got home last night, and I'm just overflowing with recovery. I've got a cold, and I was looking so forward to getting on here with all of you this morning. So I just want to say this has been the best therapy I've ever gotten. I don't think that even the specialists, they just don't get it. I need you people. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan A. from Delaware. And Judith, remind us of the first initial of your last name, please. And you're up, followed by Judy N.
Hi, thank you for moderating. Thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland, gratefully recovered for this moment. Thank you, God. And I always have to remind myself in reading the big book when we focus on a paragraph that I'm on a journey from the preface all the way to right now, page 73. And when I really can now look at my life in as honest a place as I can be for now, I realize I didn't know what was going on. I've had years of therapy, psychoanalysis for a year and a half in an inpatient setting. Ultimately, when I came out, after a couple little tries here and there, I became a therapist myself and thought myself a healer, and not in any magnificent way, just in a down-to-earth way. I've been there, I suffered, and let me see if I can help you relieve your suffering. But I knew nothing. I knew nothing. And it was interesting as people were talking. Many times, if I go to a new doctor, not that I go too often, thank you, God, there's a list of all these historic conditions you check off, you know, high blood pressure, depression, alcoholism, diabetes, this, that, the other thing. There's never, I have not come across on the form, eating disorders. And so it is very clear to me that not only does, in general, the medical profession, as well as many professions, not know about nor understand, but now that I've taken step four and shared it in step five, I have become aware, what is my truth? How does God want me to be? What are my ideals? And in reflecting on that and sharing it with another human being, and in my 10 steps when I do them, I now know my truth is to be honest as I can be. And eating has been the elephant in the middle of the room that has kept me in bondage. And now, thank you, God, through the steps and my higher power, are relieving me to freedom. The other day, I had a situation come up, and I tried to cut corners. And it felt yucky. And when I left the store, I had to do a 10-step. Because even though I'm honest Judith now, as much as I can be, it still creeps in. So I'm a human being. I can now say in any situation I go in, I have an eating disorder. And this is why I do this. This is how I have to treat it. And it is such a relief. And in partnership with anybody I come across, it is my responsibility to be honest. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judith S.P. from Maryland. And Judy N., you're up, followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Judy N., living one day at a time in recovery. And when I read this paragraph, it immediately occurred to me that I saw, I'm in my 60s now, but I've had problems with food from the age of 10. And when I tried all the pay ways, and then I went to a therapist and a psychiatric nurse and a psychologist and a group therapist, and finally found a psychiatrist, I was going very often with as a sick person, and I'm looking at another human being, and I'm reading self-help books. And it got to the point where I thought I was sitting with a psychologist, and I knew more than she knew, because I'd read about this, what this doctor's book was and that doctor. And it was, I couldn't get my, the solution for me was food for everything. And I knew there was something wrong with me. I actually said to one of these professionals, I think I'm crazy, because I did need an internal change. I didn't know it. I knew that life was too difficult for me, and on many levels, primarily socially, dealing with people and my own feelings. So I spent a lot of money, and it really wasn't until I needed this design for living. Wasn't until I, and wasn't just going to meetings in OA, it was finally having a sponsor going through the big book with me and discussing it and going through the steps and helping me kind of build up my own confidence to, let's role play a 10th step. This is what I needed. And I found a wonderful sponsor initially going, that had the patience and the time. And all of a sudden, one day at a time, living in this program, something changed, the internal change. I recognized my behaviors, my character defects, and I had developed this reliance on a power greater than myself. The dependency wasn't on me going to a doctor and saying, cure me, help me. I now have this relationship with a power that's greater than myself, that's all-knowing, loving, and teaching me, recognizing how valuable and worthy and lovable I am, as long as I stay close to living by his ideals with my behaviors, my attitudes, and my speech. That was the difference for me. That's why this design for living is the way I have to live. I'm just speaking for me. It works for me, and I've never felt more self-confident. I'm not going to say, cocky, but believe in myself and try new experiences, and don't be afraid to fail, and don't live in fear and anxiety of people or situations. Time. God's with me, and thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Judy N. And Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Vasa O.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I have to remember where this paragraph is and put it into the context of step five, which is what we're talking about here. And for me, this is about my fifth step, my sharing with someone else what I uncovered in step four. This isn't about professional therapy. It's not a commentary on the competence or incompetence of the medical profession or particular professional individuals. It's not an apologetic for or against the medical profession. What I need, I can get distracted really easily sometimes, and overthinking things. And it seems to me that the goal here, my goal, is to complete step five. That's where I am. And it seems to me step five makes it clear. It just says I have to share this with somebody else. And it doesn't give any qualifications for that person other than that they're willing to sit down and listen to my stuff. I need to say it out loud. I need to be honest about it, and I can only be as honest as I can be. It doesn't have anything to do with the other person. I just need to share what I uncovered in step four. And in a sense, my goal isn't for me to go to someone to figure myself out. And that's what it would be if I was going to, if I made an appointment to go see a professional. I'm not here to figure myself out at this point. What I really need to do is surrender myself in, if you will, into the program, into this relationship with God that allows me to speak the truth. Whether it's my truth or not isn't important to me. It's just, what is the truth? The truth is that I'm a compulsive overeater, and part of my process of getting well and trusting this process of the 12 steps is to do a fifth step with somebody and just to speak it out loud. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. and Vasa O. Please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator, for leading our meeting this morning and for everybody's shares. And I'm Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. Yeah, I had no clue anything about the food addictions when I came to OA. I just knew I'd been struggling with that for years, trying to put the food down. And, you know, the shame about my body image and, you know, for many, many, many years. And I did everything, what everybody has done here, except to be hypnotized or to have, I thought about having my jaws wired. Or maybe this stomach bypass, they did it, and they still do it today with no success anyways. But I was ashamed, you know, to do something like that. I tried to control it by myself, by my own willpower for years and years, and I couldn't. So I came to the end of myself. My friend was into AA, and she also came to, she was in OA for a year or two, which I did not know. And she was the one that introduced me to Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, this is the last hope, because I had given into the food addiction with everything I did, just did not work. So that was my last hope, going through the doors to Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm so glad it was in the basement of the church. It was not up above the church, because I didn't, and I heard this was a spiritual program. It wasn't a religious, and I didn't want anybody to pull me to their religion. I had my own religion. But anyways, I will never, never be so more grateful to find out I had the disease, or they call it eating disorder, and I didn't know about the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, which I was using those products, and of course, the obsession mind would go, I want more and more, like, you know, one is not enough. So yes, I did become master from the first night I came to OA. And I lost the weight within 6 months. It is by the grace of my higher power. And my sponsor said, okay, now we're going to move on. I said, move on for what? I'm done, you know. And I thought that's all I needed to do. I came for the vanity, not for the sin. I stayed for the sanity then. And then she said, we're going to go to fourth and fifth step. And this is what we're working on this morning, you know, the fourth and the fifth step. And I was ready to be surrendered to the, you know, to say, I was honest with the food addiction. But with my life and my will, I thought I did a, I was in control of all that stuff till I came in and I looked honestly within myself. And I did the fourth and the fifth step with a therapist, but I was abstinent. And I'm so grateful I did it like that. That's where my higher power brought me. And then, of course, I did it with, you know, Big Book Steps, a study sponsor. I did it a little bit with my friend, but I didn't want to do everything with her because she knew my family. So the best thing for me was, thank you, I'll wrap it up. The best thing for me was to the counselor, because everything was going to be logged there. Nobody's going to know anything about it. But now everybody knows about it. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And we have time for two more shares. Would anyone like to share?
Ramona A., Vermont.
Ramona?
Amy G.
Amy G. Okay, terrific. Ramona A., you're up, followed by Amy G.
Hi, everyone. This is Ramona A., a recovered compulsive overeater in Vermont. And this paragraph is just interesting for me because I've had this disease since I was born, but I knew nothing about it. My family knew nothing about it. You know, my parents didn't. We weren't living anywhere. They were psychologists or whatever. So I just did the best I could. I was the only one in the family that had the disease, and I thought there was something wrong with me, and maybe I could fix it. I could go here, I could go there, etc. I remember in college going to a psychologist, and that woman saying to me, "Well, you know, I can help you, or you can be helped, or you'll be better when you grow up." I was pretty insulted by that and never went back. And I think now, oh, if only I had gone back. But it's a little late for the if onlys. So then another thing happened several years later when I got the inspiration that let go of sugar for the rest of your life, because that happened to be my strongest drug of choice. And I could not do it. I just plain could not do it. And I didn't know why I couldn't do it, but it was just too scary. It's like, you know, I don't know, being put in prison or something, that happened. And there was, you know, so many chances that God gave me along the way, so many ways to be helped. But it was only coming into this program. I mean, he never gave up on me, no. And so along came this program, and I said, yes, now I am home. This is what I need, and this is what I needed for the last 35 years. So I'm grateful with all my heart. I still am grateful every day for the recovery in this program. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ramona A. And Amy G., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. My name is Amy G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thanks, everyone, for great shares. You know, clearly, therapy wasn't going to fix me. The 12 steps, God, my higher power, this program is what I needed as a compulsive overeater. But that doesn't mean there isn't a place and a time for therapy. And I think it's important for me to remember when I am a sponsor taking a fifth step that, you know, there I am not to play therapist. That's not my job. And that doesn't mean therapy can't play a role in a recovered person's life. And I have no problem if there's something in a fifth step that is a trauma that is way beyond my capability to deal with, to say that there might be outside sources that you might want to look into to do that. And in that way, therapy and other types of therapeutic environments can be a very, very helpful thing and have been in my experience and in sponsoring, because I am not a therapist. I am only a sponsor. And I think that's important for me to remember that when I take a fifth step. And I also owe a huge debt of gratitude to, you know, a couple of therapists in my life that continued to support program and point me in that direction where they knew they could not help me. And I don't think many therapists out there are surprised that people can't be honest with themselves or with them when they come to a therapy environment. You know, that's the whole point, was to try to figure things out. So I, as was said earlier, it's not my job to say yay or nay on the therapy situation, but I do believe that there is a time and a place if necessary. And just like after program, I found my way back to church. I found my way back to different things that came alongside my program, and it became a wonderful complement to how I live my life in many areas of my life. And I'm so grateful to the one therapist particularly who said, you need to go. And you'll see that in some of those, you know, you need to go to a 12-step program. And you can see that in some of the fourth edition stories right now, where they play a pivotal role. So anyways, those are my thoughts. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy G., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,103. That's 22103. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
I will. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. Thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.